Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, it's Dalton for Life over here. This is Cam. Thank you for tuning in this week. It's been a crazy day, so sorry for the technical difficulties, but this is Dolphins Fans for Life over here. And shout out to all the Dolphins fans that made the trek up to Seattle. Unfortunately, it didn't end the way we wanted to do, but there was a lot of us up there, and it was nice to see the Dolphins fans congregate in the hometown. So back here in Southern California and ready to do the show. Thank you guys for tuning in. Another fantastic week. And let's talk about it. The NFL, I'll give you the rundown here last week. Glad Cleveland isn't here because I'd have to admit that he did beat me last week in our pick segment. Nonetheless, it was only by a slim margin, and you know, we always have life out there. So some of the games that we disagreed on is the Seahawks over the Dolphins. He had the Hawks. They won. Carolina obviously lost. I had Atlanta beating Tampa Bay. They won. Tampa Bay won, I should say. We agreed on Baltimore over the Bills, Houston over the Bears, Green Bay over the Jaguars, KC over the Chargers, although that was pretty close to say. We both had Raiders over the Saints, again, although that was pretty close. I had Cincinnati beating the Jets. He had the Jets, the biplanes, as I call them. We both agreed on Cleveland beating the Eagles, but that was a turnaround that we both lost. I had Minnesota beating Tennessee Titans. And the Giants, we both agreed, was going to beat the Cowboys. The Lions over the Colts and the Patriots over the Chargers or the Cardinals were somewhat of a surprise, and another big surprise was the Niners shutting out the Los Angeles Rams, who a lot of pundits or so-called experts like myself picked the Rams to do very well this season, and they sure did show zero offense on Monday night, and it looked pretty bad all around. It wasn't able to stop. Had Blaine Gabbert looking like Vince McMahon, or Steve Young, I guess you could say, in reincarnation. It was pretty remarkable. Picks against the spread, he also won that one. We won a zero. I had Green Bay. They didn't cover Arizona in the blue, not right, and lost. And Rams lost outright. So the only one he got right was Cleveland plus 4.5. Well, excuse me, he got that one wrong. The only one he got right was the Jets plus 4. So the Jets lost. But it was a 3-point game. We didn't do the confidence picks last week, shame on us, but that's okay. That leaves room for improvement. You know, the Hawks really squeaked by the Dolphins. I think that's part of the reason that Cleveland didn't show up tonight is that he didn't have much to say about the Dolphins. Or the Seahawks in their performance. Russell Wilson ended up getting kind of beat up. There was a couple injuries. Mario Williams got a concussion. Mario Williams got a concussion, so he was unable to perform most of the second half. But yes, it was a slow game, and the Seahawks were still able to come through. Big onions on Jack Del Rio. Talked about them squeezing by the Saints to go for the 2-point conversion late in the game. That was big onions by him. the Rams, I mentioned that they got absolutely shut out by the Niners. It was a surprise by everybody. Broncos, on Thursday night to get the season started, they surprised the Panthers. And it looks like they have a quarterback. They don't have any quarterback issues. As they found a young guy in their rookie. And those, it looks like they have a couple guys that they can choose from, actually. But so they'll be in good shape. And the question I want to ask is, have we seen the last of RG3? With him going down with the shoulder injury, put on IR, he'll be out to week 8 or 10. You know, what's going to be the result of that? Can he recover from this yet again injury? Will the Browns be performing well without him? It's tough going with RG3. And another question is, did Ndamukong Suh ruin the Seahawks playoff chances when he stepped on the ankle of Russell Wilson? That was pretty interesting how that happened. But, yeah, Russell was able to perform. I think it happened actually in the second quarter, but Russell was able to perform, especially in the third, especially not only in the third, excuse me, not only was he going to perform in the third quarter, Russell performed in the fourth quarter when they needed his performance most. Shout out to Cleveland and his wife on their anniversary, by the way. There's a reason he's not into he's not in. But yeah, it was a fantastic Sunday going to the games. It had awesome seats. But what you don't see at the games is the extent of the injuries and a lot of the replays, obviously, because you're in the game. But it was a crazy atmosphere to be in. Opening day in Seattle was awesome. And shout out to Cleveland for the game tickets. Moving forward, you know, we want to say Cam Newton on Thursday, did he take a lot of punishment? They showed about four hits that where he was, it was a helmet-to-helmet contact and no ref called through the flag or called pass interference where, and I think I noticed that during the game time. And so it's kind of Cam Newton apparently is facing the Shaq complex where, you know, Shaq was just so big they couldn't call a foul every time. So that's so they ignored and started swallowing the whistles in some cases. And I think that's the deal with Cam Newton. He's so big and elusive and strong that they ignore some of the flags for him. So he's going to have to deal with that. We'll see how he rebounds from that. But he got beat up pretty well on Thursday night. So good thing he has a couple extra days to rest. RG3, as I stated, will be a career backup. And, you know, wearing a baseball cap is not the worst thing to do in America. So he can get paid, you know, upwards of $1 million or two just to be ready to perform in an as-needed basis. But him not showing his injury, he's coming back late. This is going to be the second season. He's getting some expensive time holding the clipboard, and that may be what he's trying to do here moving forward. I'd like to know your feedback, man. You can always hit me up on Twitter, CAMBUF, at CAMBUF on Twitter to talk about the voice of the fans. Send your feedback is really appreciated at CAMBUF. That is the voice of the fans, and we are the voice of the fans. Gaming Cleveland enjoying his anniversary this week, so I'm holding down the fort. But this is the Gaming Cleveland show. It's a weekly occurrence. Every week we come on. Just want to give you some fantasy tips. Want to give you some players to look out for. Want to talk about what's going on in the NFL. Want to talk about the Colin Kaepernick situation and the guys that are coming out are coming up against it. You know, we'd like to hear that because at least we know where they're coming from. And we can deal with somebody when we know where they're coming from. If they're going to hide them back and not hope not to put their name to it, you know, how can you respect that? But you do respect a man that comes out and says what's on his mind and follows through versus a man who is always hiding behind the microphone, the team, the organization, and what others think versus what they truly think. So although I don't necessarily agree with these gentlemen, the coach of the Clemson Tigers or Jerry Jones, they're speaking their mind, which they have a right to, just like Kaepernick has a right to take a knee for the things he doesn't see quite right and fair. So that's good on their behalf, and kudos to Kaep for doing that. But I still think his word would be much better heard and carried out if he was a starter, and I'd like to see him one day become a starter, should that happen. Confidence picks. For this week coming up, I have Miami pretty confident that they can go to New England 1 out of 5. But I'm going to pick a Miami, earn me a point there. I got the Rams welcoming Seattle, give them a 2-point confidence for them beating the Seahawks. Pittsburgh, I give a 3-point confidence for them beating Cincinnati Bengals. Arizona, I'm partially confident that they can get their W against their team. And the Carolina play the 49ers. I'm pretty confident that they can get them a win. The Cardinals play the Buccaneers. So, yes, I'm pretty confident that they can work on the Bucs as they open up their new stadium. So, that's to get our season off started. Cleveland and I both have Carolina as a 5 confidence. He has New England as a 4, Green Bay as a 3, Houston, and Seattle. I noticed he's lacking in that confidence for the Seahawks. So that is the confidence level 1 versus the Rams, and we'll see how that goes because they'll win a couple points should the Seahawks actually pull that out. What I'm looking for this week is how good is the Dolphins team? Now, we were able, in the game against the Seahawks, which you might expect to put up more than 12 points, we were able to hold that defense, to one touchdown, 2 field goals in 4 quarters. Now, with that performance, Russell is more than a game manager. Russell is, as we know, a top-tier quarterback. So being able to hold him down to 12 points, why couldn't we hold Garoppolo down to under 10 points and get the W here? My man catches a touchdown pass, which he dropped early in the second quarter. At the time, I thought it was a season-changing play, and I still contend that if it was more than just a game-changing play, more than just a drop play that you have every game, that play was going to provide confidence for your quarterback, who doesn't hit on deep passes. He hits on a wide-open deep ball over the Legion of Boom. It propels them in their season as now they're open. Now the safeties have to drop back. It leaves more room for the running game. It leaves more room for my man Jarvis Landry to work under the middle. It opens things up for us. Not only do you score the touchdown easily, he walks into the end zone, but it just opens the whole game plan up for him. And I don't think the quarterback threw deep, except for when it was a Hail Mary the rest of the game. Versus we catch the ball, our receivers, again, it makes their job easier because now they can run the whole rack of routes. By that dropping that pass, we don't go deep again, it shows the league that, okay, we're still going to pull back the reins. Our receivers now, all the short routes that they're running, the cornerbacks are easier, are much easily adjusting to those routes. They're expecting those routes because you haven't done deep. Again, the safeties, both safeties come up because you haven't gone deep or you haven't gone past 10 or 12 yards. The safeties are waiting at the 10 or 12 yard mark, taking a step up because if you run the ball, they're there to plug the holes. Since you're not throwing the deep routes, they're there as an added protection, muddy in the field and muddy in your passing lane. So that pass was very critical, very crucial. It changed the complex of the game. The Dolphins would have went up 7-3. the way they held the Seahawks for playing, the couple field goals they had would have won that game. The couple field goals that they attempted, and one were blocked, we know, and we missed another one. How we win the game should that happen. But that is field goal. But I wanted to know how good is the Dolphins D, because they performed and they were at the end of the day, production were pretty well, overall it was well. But giving up the game-winning drive was not a good look. But then again, how much can you expect to shut down Russell Wilson, who's a top-tier quarterback in this game? And you did it for 3.5 quarters. We just didn't do it to wrap the game up with the final quarter. And obviously that's what you want to do. That's what they didn't do. Hopefully we can get a better performance this coming week, hopefully we can get a bit better performance this coming week when they travel to New England and they face a lesser quarterback. So that's what I want to know. How good is the Dolphins defense? The Bengals go to Pittsburgh. That's what I'm looking forward to this week. Pittsburgh and the Bengals have become one of the game's best rivalries. Also, acknowledging what happened in the playoffs last year, add some more funk to it. Antonio Brown not being at the game, and they still winning. Add some bad milk in the Bengals' blood, and then the way the Bengals lost also add some bad milk in the blood. So that's going to be an interesting game, and to see how that turns around. This is one of the best rivalries currently in the game, outside of Pittsburgh and the Ravens. Another thing I'm interested to see this week is Lamar Miller with the Houston Texans. Because I was at the Seahawks game last week, I wasn't able to have my two TVs on, one with the Red Zone channel and then one with the zoom-in game, the game that really has zeroed in, and that's typically how I watch TV. I have two TVs going with the laptop and my iPad. On the big screen, I have the Dolphins game. First TV, I have the Dolphins game. Once that goes off, it's most likely the Seahawks that come on. Second TV is Red Zone channel, or if there's another good matchup that I want to zero in on. So this weekend, not only will I have the Dolphins game, I will have the game on the Houston Texans, because I want to take a good look at Lamar Miller. I hate that the Dolphins got rid of him, but I think he's really going to excel. Houston's going to give him a chance for him to perform by giving him the ball plenty of times. So I want to see Houston and the Chiefs. It's the opening day for the Houston Texans. I want to see this game. I want to look closely at this game, so I'm excited about that matchup. That's what I'm looking to see this week. I'm also looking to see, I'm wondering, are the Rams going to start Jared Goff, being that Case Keenum put up 0 points against the 49ers? You'd expect him not to do much better against the Seattle Seahawks, so I think a change would be in order, and throw him in there. He's not going to learn standing on the sideline. I'd like to see Jared Goff against the Seattle Seahawks. He's an accurate quarterback. They needed the receivers definitely. Desperately needed accurate quarterback back there, and they have a running game. Hopefully that can get Todd Gurley going. So I'm interested to see that. Interested to see what the Cowboys or Skins going to do against each other. Both of them on 0-1. The loser of this game is going to have a uphill climb for the rest of the season. So this is kind of a big game in week two to see how things turn out. We have two 1-0 teams. The Vikings and the Packers play late on Sunday night. That should be a pretty good turnout. The Vikings have their home opener against the hated Packers. So them going, the winner of this game is going to not only have one game up on the tiebreaker, but then they'll have beaten the opponent. So they kind of get a two games in one here, a little bump. So this is a big game in week two, as I stated. We have the Raiders and the Falcons, which should be interesting. The Broncos and the Colts should be a decent matchup. Andrew Luck plays a tough defense, but we have the rookie on the Broncos side of the game, and let's see how they actually perform. The Titans and the Lions, man, I'm still in a format where I see the Lions, and I think one guy, I think number 20, I think Barry Sanders, I think he's still back there, even over my thoughts of the poster I had on my wall for years as a kid of Billy Sims playing for the linebacker, playing for the Detroit Lions. I still see the Lions and I think of how good that guy was. They're playing the Titans, in which, you know, oddly enough or ironically, has two of the top young running backs, or probably the best running back tandem in the league right now, with Derrick Henry and Murray, DeMarco Murray. So interested to see that game and see how they perform and how they use that backfield against the Detroit Lions, who's going to be looking to put up points. And Titans obviously going to be looking to slow the game down with their running game. So that's going to be interesting. The Jets and the Bills, that's an even game. May catch a late fourth quarter in this game. Not interested in either one of these teams, but I probably need to do some scouting. So that's a stinker of a ball game that they have on Thursday night, and they turn around and have another stinker of a ball game on Monday night. They have the Philadelphia Eagles playing the Chicago Bears. The Bears are up on the spread. I have a Philly winning the game, but the Bears minus 3 is the line there. So that's a stinker of a game. So in regards, that's the season coming up. In regards to fantasy football, if you can get your hands on the Giants running back Rashard Jennings, you're going to be a proud guy. He's going to be able to help you, as well as the receiver for Tennessee Titans. You would be a happy man. The other guy I was happy to have on my team was Lamar Miller. He was I got him on one of my teams. I think it's my Yahoo team. Picked him up in the 9th round as the number 9 pick. As I stated, that's why I'm happy to excited to see what he's going to do next on Sunday. Also, those are two of the exciting pickups, or three of the exciting pickups for fantasy players I'm focusing on this week here. And Tavon Coleman for the Atlanta Falcons, if you can pick him up. Apparently Freeman's game is regressing, so Coleman might be an adequate replacement, because they're going to give the ball to somebody down there in Atlanta. It looked like he had another gear when they actually gave him the ball last week. So get a good look at Coleman and pick him up if you need him. Any surprises from last week? That I had surprises for me was, as I stated, the Broncos beating the Panthers. Surprised that the Buccaneers came out and handled the Falcons the way that they did. Jameis Winston, I knew coming out of college he was something of a football savant, so I expected him to perform very well, expecting a high-level performance from him, and he shows he's ready to perform. I had Baltimore over the Ravens, expected that. The Chargers actually jumped out to, 28-3 lead, or 24-3 lead before giving up the game against the Chiefs. So surprised that the Chiefs came back on that game, because I kind of had written them off there. Oakland survived the New Orleans Saints with their two-point conversion that we talked about earlier. That's what kind of surprised me last week. Other than that, I was very surprised how easily that the Patriots beat up on the Cardinals. They were very easy, just as well as the 49ers beating up on the Rams. I expected the Rams to be much better prepared for the game than they showed. And Jeff Fisher, you know, that kind of puts him on the hot seat, because they've been saying for the last few years now that Fisher is on the hot seat, because the teams are just mediocre. He's been has a mediocre record for all these years, yet nothing happens to him because they like him. The rest of the coaches like him. Well, when does production matter? It's kind of been the argument. I think I kind of like Jeff Fisher as well, but also kind of seeing if you look back, he has not coached the team up and made it to the playoffs. And when the Titans went to the playoffs, the Titans versus the Rams and were inches away from winning the Super Bowl, I think that was like 15 years ago. So they did it. Congratulations and kudos to him. However, very long time span before much playoff success. So I'd like to see, here in L.A., I'd like to see the Rams do well, get this thing turned around. It'd be very exciting here for the city to have the Rams being a contender. And they have the talent to do it. They just need to execute and get it done. But what they showed on the field on Monday was less than impressive against a team that shouldn't have only two or three wins this season. So we'll see how things perform, but that was less than impressive on Monday, and we're looking to see how the Rams get it turned around. Thank you, guys. Thanks to everybody who makes this happen. All the many people we have researching for the show, Voice of the Fans, are intended just to bring you topical topics to think about and to question and ask yourself. Until Sunday shows up, what's going on in the league? Get you thinking different than most everybody else does about the stuff that matter in the league, on the field and off the field. Thank you guys for tuning in. Having a fantastic time doing this. Again, shoot me some feedback at CAMBUF, at CAMBUF. That's at CAMBUF. Thank you for tuning in. This is Voice of the Fans. This is Cam. Have a good evening. Later.